Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Hey, welcome to Wednesday's podcast, everybody. We are drafting here on Fantasy Football Today. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg, Heath Cummings. We've got a 12-team half-point PPR draft going right now. And we have Dave making the first pick. It's half-point PPR. Dave, you took Antonio Brown. So, you know, we've talked a lot about standard. We talked a lot about PPR. Tell me about half-point PPR and how you're approaching it.
Yeah, it used to be that we would refer people to our standard rankings for half-point PPR because we didn't think the catches made that much of a difference when it was just a half a point per catch. But things have changed in the NFL over the past few seasons. And I think with these receivers catching the ball as much as they do now, especially the studly ones, you got to lean more toward the PPR rankings. And so that's what I did. And Antonio Brown's my number one guy. So in AB, we trust. Business is booming.
All right. Now, I want to tell everybody, first of all, it's good to be back. Dave said I had an appendectomy. That wasn't true, Dave. Shouldn't have lied.
And then I said that you had your appendix put back in.
Yeah, but you know what was the most disappointing about that? I didn't really get that many sympathy tweets. Like, there were maybe 10 to 15, I hope you feel better. So if I had an appendectomy, I would think people would care a little bit more. But I didn't.
Yeah. I got a lot of compliments about how I hosted the podcast.
You did a great job, and I appreciate it. And Jamie and Heath, thank you guys for stepping up as well. Jamie, you're actually on deck right now. I will run down the picks. We are at the 8th overall pick. I have a lot of things to tell you about. I do want to mention that looking at the last 4 years of data here, in 2012 in half-point PPR, the top two players were running backs. In 2013 and 2014, the top three players were running backs in half-point PPR. Last year, the top four were all wide receivers. But we know last year was just a bad year for running backs. But based on the past, other than last year, the best of the best in half-point PPR have been running backs. Jamie just took Dez Bryant. Here are your first 9 picks. Brown, Julio, Beckham, David Johnson, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott. Jamie took Dez Bryant. Lamar Miller goes off the clock, and now goes off the board. Now I am on the clock here with the 11th overall pick. Heath, you have the 12th overall pick. I think
and
I know who you're going to take with one of them.
I don't think you're going to take who's in Heath's queue.
No.
I might.
I don't think so. His queue is empty.
oh, really? Okay. Okay, so I am going to... Crap. I hate this pick here, because the top receivers are off the board except for Jordy. I'm going to go with... Jamal Charles! Did I take who was in your queue, Heath?
Wow. That was not who I expected you to go with at all. I've really been in a situation like our last 3 or 4 mocks where the top 6 wide receivers get taken, and then... I go running back, and I'm turning into the 0 wide receiver guy, and it's not really that intentional, although I did write something about it. So I'm going to take Gronk, and I'm going to take Allen Robinson.
Okay, well, that's good. That leaves me with Jordy Nelson there as my second pick. Now,
and wasn't the choice of Jamal Charles because of the wide receiver depth that was left, and you knew you were going to get a good wide receiver in round 2?
Yeah, I did feel that way. I also felt like if Dez were on the board, that would have been pretty tempting, but he went just before me. Now, I want to ask you guys, the Dez Bryant concussion, you didn't seem that concerned about it yesterday. Why not?
Because there's still 2 weeks for him to get healthy.
Yeah, we don't have any idea of how severe a concussion it is. Remember, the NFL is very sensitive to concussions now, so every single one will be taken seriously. It's the ones that linger for more than a week that are going to be the ones that get the most attention from fantasy owners. Like John Brown, for example, hasn't played in a preseason game yet. We know that he was dealing with a concussion. Obviously, it's pretty serious. Dez, it's only been a couple of days. If he practices before the end of the week, then you have to assume that it was a serious issue, but not one that's going to possibly linger or keep him off the field for an extended period of time. I think that was a good thing for fantasy.
Now, I didn't even realize. So here's the thing. These picks, we have 30 seconds on the clock. We are absolutely flying through these picks. And hosting a podcast and drafting at the same time, a little tough. I didn't even realize Adrian Peterson was on the board. He just went with the 16th overall pick. Would you guys
gotta keep track of your rankings?
Well, I don't have rankings. Would you guys?
Our rankings. I would assume you use ours.
I'm trying,
scratch
Dave.
Scratch names off as players get picked. You know?
I'm multitasking here, Dave.
Did
you
know,
rather,
Adam?
Would you rather have Peterson? What?
You can sort the draft room by our rankings.
I'm aware of this. For goodness' sake, I'm trying here. Would you guys? I have to make a selection for somebody now. Would you guys rather have Adrian Peterson or Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell in a half-point PPR? How would you guys go? And then I'm going to catch everybody up on what we've seen so far.
I'm the anti-Peterson guy, and even I would take Peterson in the second. I took him in the second round.
Yeah,
I would take him over Charles.
Me too. In half-point PPR, I would take Charles. They're so like.
You stopped yourself.
No, because I have Peterson.
Said it. Was that a Freudian slip?
Yeah, I have Charles higher than Peterson in PPR.
Okay, so
I have Peterson higher than Charles in standard.
Right.
So in a half-point PPR, I think it's a coin flip.
Right, and the coin just landed on Charles.
Sure.
Okay. I get that. I still think Adrian Peterson's going to be pretty darn good this year. Is he going to catch 50 passes?
No.
Is he going to catch 30? That's the question.
Maybe not. Hopefully he does.
Okay, guys. Just getting something set up here in the draft room. Sorry about that. I want to tell everybody we're doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. If you want to go on Reddit.com, I'll give you some more details on Twitter. But Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, we're doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything. Now let's catch up on everything we've seen so far here in this draft. Round one started with those three receivers, Brown, Julio, and Beckham. Then it was, I think, David Johnson, four. DeAndre Hopkins, who was the fifth pick, guys? Do you recall?
AJ Green,
DeAndre Hopkins, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Dez Bryant, Lamar Miller, Jamal Charles, and Heath took Rob Gronkowski and Allen Robinson. Then Jordy Nelson went with the 14th pick, Keenan Allen, Adrian Peterson, Brandon Marshall, Brandon Cooks, Le'Veon Bell, 19th overall, followed by Mike Evans, Eddie Lacy, Amari Cooper, Devontae Freeman, and Dave just took T.Y. Hilton to end round two. Jamie, you're not picking for a while. Can you take a look at the first two rounds and tell me what stands out to you?
Well, it's the first time I've seen Peterson not go in the first round. It's a little surprising. I was actually planning on taking Le'Veon Bell. I thought, okay, I'll take Le'Veon. I'll play this out, see how it goes. It's a typical first round. We're seeing a little change in average draft position where Cam Newton's creeped into the first round, so it's nice to see that nobody took a quarterback here. Otherwise, it's pretty standard.
Okay,
we can ever say a first round without Adrian Peterson is standard.
Well, so, I said that already.
Right. So if Adrian Peterson is out, who should have been out? I guess that's the question.
Charles, maybe?
Maybe Charles.
Yeah.
Charles has definitely not been.
Yeah, it has to be Charles.
Right. As a first round.
Right. I would say that Adrian Peterson should have gone there. And then Heath probably would have taken Gronk and Charles instead of Gronk and Robinson, or maybe you would have passed on Charles with those swing picks. What would you have done there?
I was really struggling with that. I was going to take Gronk if he left Gronk to me. I probably would have taken Charles over Robinson.
Interesting.
Now, Dave, you took three wide receivers with your first three picks as we're now into round three. In round three, Watkins, Alshon, Jarvis Landry, 27th overall, half point PPR. Is that too early, guys?
Yes.
I think it is.
Not by much, though.
Kelvin Benjamin, 28th overall. Is that too early?
By a half round on Kelvin Benjamin.
Okay, then we have Ingram and McCoy off the board. All right, Dave, let's talk about your team. Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins. Interesting. By the way, it's half-point PPR. It's 12 teams. It's two running backs, two receivers, and a flex. Go ahead, Dave.
Obviously, Antonio Brown was my highest-rated player in a PPR, and then Hilton and Watkins were next two on my board. I didn't want to take Doug Martin ahead of those guys.
Okay.
If Eddie Lacy had fallen to me, I would have taken probably Hilton and Lacy. But Lacy went a couple of picks before me. Here we go. Zero RB. We'll see if it works out.
Now, this round is seeing a lot of good running backs come off the board, Heath. We've got Ingram, McCoy, Doug Martin, and Latavius Murray all going in the middle of round three. Do you think that's something fantasy owners can expect in a half-point PPR or a PPR draft, the running backs of those caliber going off the board? And oh boy, did CJ Anderson fall to me? How about that? With the second
magnet
to last pick of the round.
And the magnet.
Yeah. I just gotta check, make sure there's nobody else that I want. All right, now Anderson. Go ahead, Heath. What were you gonna say?
what I was going to say is I really hate the way this has worked out.
You're on the clock now, so what's your mindset?
Well, I've already got Gronk at tight end. Two of my top-rated players are tight ends, so that doesn't do me any good.
Ah, so having Olsen and Jordan.
And then I've got this group of running backs and DeMarco Murray, Thomas Rawls. Obviously, nobody's going to take Larry Fitzgerald for a couple rounds, so I can wait on him. Carlos Hyde, you're going to have to there you go. So I'm just going to take Cam Newton.
Oh, Cam Newton at the end of round three, huh? Okay.
Yeah, and then I'm going to take DeMarco Murray, I think, for the first time this season.
Now, this is pretty interesting here, because I've got the second pick now of round four, and I've got Jamal Charles and C.J. Anderson. And here's something I want to say about Jamal Charles. I'm going to get Spencer Ware, and I think he's a very good handcuff. So I'm probably more on Heath's side here. Heath, you're the highest on Jamal Charles, right?
Yes, by far.
All right, so I feel what you're saying, and it's half-point PPR, and he's so good in those formats. So I am very surprised to have two running backs and three picks and a half-point PPR. Usually I want wide receivers, and now I'm going to have to kind of reach a little bit, I think, at wide receiver. And
this is one of the reasons why I took three receivers.
It's Michael Floyd time.
Or is it Aaron Rodgers time? No, I'm going to say it's Michael Floyd time. Not loving it.
This is you getting your guys, though.
Yeah, I did get C.J. Anderson and Michael Floyd. That's pretty fun right there. That's pretty fun. So, all right, Heath, you have four players. Who are they?
Cam Newton, DeMarco Murray, Allen Robinson, and Rob Gronkowski.
Interesting, interesting team.
I'll tell you what, I don't hate it.
I don't really love it, though. Heath?
I know, because he doesn't have any kind of depth at running back or wide receiver, but he's got playmakers.
Right.
It's really going to come down to who's left with those next two picks, because that I think that's going to be what swings the pendulum of whether or not this is a good draft or just an okay draft for you.
Right. If you have the best quarterback and the best tight end, then you don't have to have the best running backs and wide receivers, but I need some good
fortune
to come my way.
Yeah, you kind of need some good running backs and wide receivers.
No, I just said you don't have to have the best. You wouldn't expect to be the best at every position.
I think you need something to fall to you.
Okay, my four players are Charles, Anderson, Jordy Nelson, and Michael Floyd. And Jamie, you just picked, after I took Floyd, Jordan Reed went, and you took Aaron Rodgers. This is not the most Jamie Eisenberg team. What do you have so far through four picks?
Aaron Rodgers, Adrian Peterson, Demaryius Thomas, and Dez Bryant.
That's a pretty good team.
Yeah, that's a nice
team.
Right,
plenty of playmakers on that team.
Okay, so catching up here, I'll recap round three, then we'll talk about round four. Round three in this half-point PPR league was Watkins, Alshon, Landry, Kelvin. You are seeing, is it safe to say Demaryius went a little bit later, but once Alshon went off the board, we saw a bit of a drop at wide receiver with Landry, Kelvin, Demaryius, Cobb. A tier fall there, guys?
Well, they didn't go in the order that I would expect them to, and so it's hard. Like, I think maybe that there was a little bit of a tier fall before Alshon went off the board, but then there was definitely one after. Demaryius should have gone before a lot of those guys that went in the third round.
Yeah, but the wide receivers got a little bit thin there, and then so after Watkins and Jeffrey and Landry and Benjamin, we had the running back run. Ingram, McCoy, Doug Martin, Latavius, followed by Demaryius Thomas, Randall Cobb, C.J. Anderson, and Cam Newton. We're midway through round four. What we're looking at right now, DeMarco Murray, Michael Floyd, Jordan Reed, Aaron Rodgers, Golden Tate, 41st overall, then Yikes. Doug Baldwin, then Julian Edelman. Talk to me about those three picks, Tate, Baldwin, Edelman.
They're not guys that I'm really targeting. If I end up with them, hopefully it's at a spot in the draft that's a lot better than this.
I'm not a huge Doug Baldwin guy. I think everybody knows he's going to regress a little bit, but of these three receivers, I'd much rather have Baldwin.
Yeah, but I think I'd rather have him in round five than round four. Like, Jeremy Maclin is another one of these players that people just totally overlook. I think he's worth a pick when you don't really like anybody else on the board. I think he's safe because I think he's got that 1,000-yard 7-8 touchdown potential, and in a half-point PPR, he's going to give you 70-plus catches on top of it.
But again, he was the first 1,000-yard receiver ever in Alex Smith's history.
And I don't think it's like 1,000 yards and seven touchdowns is... I don't know that that's out of... Like, that's pretty much the expectation for Doug Baldwin, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
They're the same guy.
Oh, come on.
I think Macklin's got the same touchdown potential. Like, I think Baldwin could end up with more scores, but I think Maclin could end up with more yards.
Macklin's a more talented player. Baldwin has a much better quarterback.
Hey, Dave's on the clock. Dave, take us through it here. You have three receivers, and this is your fourth and fifth pick at the swing here at rounds four and five.
So my top two running backs are both Chargers, Danny Woodhead, Melvin Gordon. The running back behind that is Jeremy Hill. Andrew Luck is still on the board. Greg Olson's on the board. This is a mock. Let's have some fun. I'm going to take Olson first because I think he's a stud at tight end.
Yep.
And I'm going to wait on running backs, man. Give me Andrew Luck. Lock up my quarterback spot.
Wow.
I think it's a pretty good value. It's not the best value, but just gonna wait and see what's left for me at running back in round 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. And let's just see how it works out. We're not playing it out. We're just testing the waters.
Good
let's
for you. That's legit zero RB. That's legit right there. Guys, I got to tell everybody about a couple of things. First of all, do you need tickets? Great time of year. Baseball, football's coming up. Basketball's not that far away. Are you going to a game? Are you going to a concert? Are you looking to sell some tickets? Do you want to save $20 with our promo code FFT? Please, please use SeatGeek, SeatGeek.com or the SeatGeek app. This is the only thing I use for tickets now. You know, Dave told you on Monday, he's using SeatGeek to buy college football tickets for him and his kid. I've used it recently for concert tickets and Yankees tickets. Once you start using SeatGeek, you'll find out it is clearly the best. So stop using StubHub. Stop using any other online source. SeatGeek pulls in tickets from multiple ticket sites. So it does the price comparison for you. It ensures that you get the best deal. And then SeatGeek ranks all the tickets based on value. And then you can see all the views from your seat. So when you go to an event on SeatGeek, right, you see all these green dots. Now, the greener the dot, the better the value. It makes things very, very simple for you. Or you can sort by price. If you don't really care about value, you just want to get in there, you just want to, you know, get the cheapest tickets, you can do that on SeatGeek as well. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter our promo code FFT, as in fantasy football, today. And also, please sign up in our commissioner leagues. We're doing a commissioner league draft right now for CBSSports.com. Go to CBSSports.com/fantasyfootball. The commissioner leagues are amazing. More scoring options, deeper player data than what you get on ESPN and Yahoo. Trust me, it makes a big difference. CBSSports.com/fantasyfootball. Our commissioner leagues are worth it. You will absolutely love them if you're a serious fantasy football player. Guys, if you wouldn't mind, could somebody please run through round three and maybe the beginning of round four? I am picking for an owner who didn't show up here with the fifth pick of round five. Take it away, whoever.
All right, so from the middle of round three,
sure,
we'll go with we talked about how Golden Tate, Doug Baldwin, and Julian Edelman were picks. So let's go after those guys. Carlos Hyde at 44th overall. Dante Moncrief, 45th overall. A round four pick on Dante Moncrief.
He should be.
No, I don't know about that. Thomas Rawls, followed by Jeremy Maclin, and then Greg Olson. The problem is, it's two Colts wide receivers in the first four rounds. I just don't know if Luck can support that. All right, maybe Hilton's the wrong one or Moncrief is the right one. I don't know which way it's going to go.
They both are going to be fine.
I hope so. I took Olson with the last pick in round four, Andrew Luck in round five, and then Jeremy Hill, second pick in round five, Eric Decker, John Brown, and then Danny Woodhead.
Hey, Dave.
Who I was considering went with the fifth pick in round five.
Dave, what do you think about Jeremy Hill in a half-point PPR league going ahead of Danny Woodhead? Personally, I think Woodhead, to me, is one of the most difficult players to evaluate in this half-point PPR format.
Right. So it's a boom or bust type of pick for Woodhead, because there's going to be some weeks where he outproduces and like fulfills your wildest dreams as a fantasy running back. And then there's going to be some weeks where he catches three passes for 18 yards and that's it. And that's not going to help you, especially in a half point PPR. The nice thing about Jeremy Hill, no, he doesn't catch a lot of passes, but I think he's going to continue to be that lead back in Cincinnati. And if they don't have a passing game that they really love, well, at least they have a strong offensive line and a decent run game that they can lean on. Hill has been the main back so far. He's looked fine this preseason. I think he's a safe bet for 8 touchdowns. I think he's a safe bet for a minimum of 900 total yards. Maybe he can get to 1,000. I think there's upside for him to get to 1,209, maybe even double digits like he had last year. I wouldn't shy away from Jeremy Hill. I think he's kind of like the Jeremy Maclin of running backs. He's the safe guy that you take when no one else really looks good.
Jamie, I'm on the clock here. You just took Melvin Gordon. But I want to ask a general question here. I've got two running backs and two wide receivers. Do you think people should be afraid of Devontae Parker based on what we saw from Kenny Stills in preseason week two?
That wouldn't be my concern so much as the fact that he's yet to do anything. I guess they kind of go hand in hand because of Stills playing very well in that second game. And it appears as if there's a rapport between Tannehill and Stills. And I'll go back to the coach's breakfast in March when Adam Gase was asked about his receivers. And he said he was really excited to work with Kenny Stills. I mean, he talked up everybody and he continues to talk up everybody. But Stills is a very interesting guy right now that if he has another good preseason outing, Parker does nothing. Parker's going to fall in my rankings by far. He's already dropped. Like I would not take him ahead of Jarvis Landry. That's a huge mistake.
Now, sorry, I'm just catching up on some picks here. Melvin Gordon, then Jeremy Langford. I took Marvin Jones. He took Giovanni Bernard and Tyler Lockett back to back.
Marvin Jones in round five, Adam.
Look, I mean, we've reached a point with wide receivers where I don't think it's very clear. Emmanuel Sanders, Marvin Jones, Sterling Shepard, Devontae Parker. I don't know where to go there, guys. Like, what do you recommend in that spot?
What about Tyler Lockett? You're not feeling it with him?
You know, I'm kind of a Baldwin guy, and unless the Seahawks just really change what they're going to do offensively, which they might a little bit, I don't know that Lockett's worth a round five pick.
What about a round six pick? You feel okay with it there?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure he's worth a top. I'm not sure he's worth a top 65 pick. Let's say that. I don't know. I mean, I know Heath, you like him a lot more than I do. Everybody seems to love his talent.
His talent's phenomenal, and he plays bigger than he actually is. So he's certainly more explosive and exciting than Marvin Jones. Jones might be a little more of a steady, wide receiver for your fantasy team, and certainly you've got to like Marvin Jones' situation a little bit better than Tyler Lockett's. He's the potential number one receiver in Detroit. Detroit's going to throw a lot. Seattle, we don't know if they're going to throw a lot. We think they might throw a little more than they have. But if Rawls and Christian Michael get going, guess what? Russell Wilson's not going to be throwing the ball 35 times a game. Matthew Stafford will be lucky if he only throws 35 times a game. He's averaged 38.1 pass attempts over his last three seasons.
You know, we talked about my Tyler Lockett pick, but the one that I loved there in this format is Bernard. I think even if his touchdowns don't come back this year, he's a very safe running back two in a PPR or even a half point PPR.
Sure, because of all the
if the touchdowns stuff, right. Do come back, he's a borderline running back one.
He could get there. There's definitely upside with Gio. There's a very safe floor with him. And I really feel like that floor is potentially the same 900 yards that Jeremy Hill has, just with much fewer touchdowns. But he's got a lot of catches to go with it.
Right. I don't think Gio's ever finished worse, and I could have this number wrong. I think he's been at least running back 18 all 3 years in PPR.
What was he last year? Because that was his worst year. I can look it up.
I'm trying to look that up.
Yeah,
I got it right here. He was 17th.
17th last year.
In full point PPR. He was 19th in half point.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the problem, though. It is half point PPR, and sometimes guys like Bernard, guys like Woodhead, who are so dependent on their catches because they don't score that many touchdowns, I do sometimes have trouble evaluating them, as I was saying with Woodhead. You know, do you guys feel the same way? He kind of needs to start scoring. In PPR, you can get away with it. In half point PPR, I don't know that all those catches do much for you.
Well, him finishing 18 last year or in that range.
19.
Was not a good 19.
No.
It was a ugly 19. It was a Frank Gore 19. So you need him to be more productive all the way around, but certainly the touchdowns are going to be huge for him. It's what makes Woodhead. Look, Woodhead could catch 80 passes every year. If he's not scoring 7 touchdowns, he's not going to be a top 10 half point PPR or PPR guy.
Just to clarify though, Bernard doesn't need to start scoring touchdowns. He needs to return to scoring touchdowns. He did it every year, but last year.
Okay.
The interesting thing about him though is he was very good finding the end zone the first half of the 2014 season before Jeremy Hill became a thing.
Yeah.
And then he was not good ever since Jeremy Hill became a thing at scoring touchdowns. So his 7 touchdowns over his first 2 years were very non-Jeremy Hill.
Right.
Okay.
Being part of the team.
Guys, I'm gonna suspend the draft for a bit here because it's really going quickly and we're like 2 rounds behind. I want to catch everybody up. And let's take a look at some trends. And Dave, I'm very interested. I don't even know what Dave just did with his 2 picks. Remember, through the first 5 rounds, Dave didn't take any running backs. So, let's see what he did. But first, this was round 4. All the way back to round 4. We're in round 7 right now. Now, we talked about round four. We don't have to talk about round four. Let's talk about round five, which began with Dave taking Andrew Luck, then Jeremy Hill, who Dave could have taken as his first running back, but he took Luck and Olsen in those swing picks. Jeremy Hill, Eric Decker, John Brown, Danny Woodhead, Larry Fitzgerald, and you're going to see Russell Wilson and Drew Brees come off the board. So the only, you know, top six quarterback left is Palmer at this point. Melvin Gordon to Jamie, Jeremy Langford, then I took Marvin Jones, and Heath took Giovanni Bernard. Do you guys have any thoughts on round five really quickly? Again, I'll say the names. Luck, Hill, Decker, John Brown, Woodhead, Fitzgerald, Wilson, Brees, Gordon, Langford, Marvin Jones, and Giovanni Bernard.
I thought the Jones pick was the most curious. I think the Langford pick was good value. I think he's going to be another one of those running backs that people are very happy to get as a number two option if they spend earlier draft choices on non-running backs. And that's really about it.
Okay. Round six, Heath took Tyler Lockett. I took Kobe Fleener. And guys, I like I've been saying, I hate tight ends. And where do you feel like you need to, where in your rankings do you feel like the good starting tight ends end? Because for me, I feel like I look at your rankings and after maybe 10th, and this is a 12-team league, after like Zach Ertz maybe, I don't really want Julius Thomas to be my starter. I don't want Dwayne Allen to be my starter. You guys are pretty, I don't know if you're high on them, but you seem more comfortable with it. How many starting tight ends do you think there are for fantasy owners?
I think 10 is the right number. Although you could certainly make the argument that there's really only one.
No, you
and I
can't.
Got him.
You've got him.
No, you cannot make that argument. I mean, look, I'm totally, everybody's fine with
but
Kelce.
But there's a clear difference between Rob Gronkowski and every other
but
tight
end. But that's not the point.
You're drafting
Gronk. Last year. George Reed was just as good as in PPR.
He was, yeah, that's true. But that wasn't the expectation going into the year. And I don't
know. There's
gonna
be
and
somebody.
That's not the expectation now.
There's going to be somebody that comes either from the mid-round range, whether it's Travis Kelce having a career season, whether it's, I mean, obviously I think it's going to be Fleener. You know, there's going to be somebody that, I mean, Delanie Walker last year was.
Could very well be Zach Ertz.
It could be Zach Ertz. It could be, you know, look, Gates would, if he had the four games
right.
last year and what he should be able to still do this year because of his touchdown potential. And I'm somewhat bullish on it, but I think Dwayne Allen's going to have a big year. I think you're going to see him get back to the 8 touchdown level and have a career catches in yard.
Gates averaged 13.1 points per game in a full point PPR. That puts him definitely in the top 10, more like top 7 at tight ends over the position. In half point PPR, he averaged 10.5, which puts him 7th among tight ends, 8.0 in average non-PPR. So he's right. He's probably a little bit better than our rankings give him credit for.
And look, Barnage looks like he's having a good preseason with RG3. That could help.
But that's another player who's probably going to take a step back this year.
Still, you know, you're getting him at good value where he's falling.
The thing about Gates.
That's the thing. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
No, I kind of feel like I have to look up, in fact, I will right now, what Gates did last year, but I kind of feel like he's a first half guy. And he's an older guy and who sort of struggles in the second half of the season. Last year, he wasn't playing in the very beginning of the season.
His last three games were 8 fantasy points, 1 fantasy point, 9 fantasy points.
I'll take 8 and 9.
Standard scoring.
But he got a late start last year.
Got a late start. He only had 2 games with double digits.
Okay, yeah. So, I don't know. That's sort of a trend that I've been seeing with Gates. Kind of been a trend with Rivers, too. There have been some circumstances. So, let's get back to the picks here. So, round 6, Lockett, Fleener, Frank Gore, 63rd overall. Matt Forte, 64th overall. You still had Amir Abdullah. You still had Jonathan Stewart. You still had Ryan Matthews on the board. So Gore and Forte, were they reaches ahead of Abdullah, Stewart, and Matthews?
I took Forte. I'm fine with him in round 6 in any PPR scoring. I would actually consider him round 6 is a good value for him in standard scoring.
Yeah, I think it is. I'd rather have Stewart if it was a standard league, but in PPR, I'd rather have Forte. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, no, round 6 is pretty solid. Emmanuel Sanders, Delanie Walker, Travis Kelce, Devontae Parker. Walker or Kelce, guys, while we're at it?
Walker.
I've got Walker in PPR. I've got Kelce in standard.
And then this must have bothered Dave so much because he's 4 picks away, or he's 5 picks away. Yeah, 4. And he needs a running back, right? Dave, you got no running backs. And off the board come Abdullah, Jonathan Stewart and Ryan Matthews, and you took Rashad Jennings to end round six. Would you have taken any of those other three, Abdullah, Stewart, and Matthews?
Absolutely not.
Oh, yeah? Jennings was your,
absolutely.
Your highest?
Absolutely. Jennings is my highest ranked in PPR ahead of those guys. I think they're all going to be troublesome for fantasy this year. I'm trying not to get any of those three, along with Gore.
Wow, I so disagree, but it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Ed. I think they're all going to be somewhat decent.
They might be okay, but I think they'll also – they present so many potential
problems. They all do at
this
point. I mean, so does Jennings.
Yeah, but I like the fact that he's healthy now. I really like the Giants' offense. Not great in the PPR, but he's just my highest-ranked guy.
That's fine. And then you took Duke Johnson. So now we're in round seven. I'm going to get the draft rolling again here.
Duke makes me nervous with RG3.
Jamie thinks the dump-offs won't really be there. That's not RG3's style.
He makes me nervous just in general, too, but I just didn't like any of the other running backs left.
Yeah, you could have taken James White. I mean, is this where James White could go?
I'm kind of hoping he falls back to me,
he's
but I'm almost positive.
No chance.
Right.
No, I'm not taking him.
But all right,
James White is like the perfect. He's the perfect PPR zero RB guy because he should begin the year very productive, safe starter for your team, and then you table your decisions from there. So far, I'm not liking zero RB through five rounds.
No,
no, I think taking Luck is the difference.
Well,
I have no problem going receiver, 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 and then getting Olsen. I don't know if taking Luck was the right move there when I could have gotten Jeremy Hill. I would have felt a little bit better about my running backs with Hill there already. Then when it's my turn with the swing picks, if I'm taking Hill and then Jennings would definitely be on the roster as my number two running back. And then even if it's Duke Johnson as a third running back, he wouldn't be my flex. I think that looks a lot better with my quarterback pick yet to come.
Yeah. So what if you didn't take Olsen and then maybe you could have gotten like Kelsey? You know, Jeremy Hill and Kelsey.
I wouldn't have liked that. I would prefer Olsen and Hill.
Okay.
But that's why I'm doing this. I want to see what it's going to look like.
I got to give you credit, man. When we do mock drafts, you are always the one who's willing to try different things. And sometimes doesn't lead to great results.
It's the term mock.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Jamie, you just picked. I wanted you to go through what you were going to do there. So Duke, Gordon, Brady, Kevin White, Sterling Shepard, D'Angelo Williams, Alan Hearns, Jordan Matthews, and then you took James White.
Yep. Yeah, right. I knew as soon as I said James White, I was like, you know what? There's no – even if I hadn't have said James White, I knew there was a very slim chance he'd make it back to me. Do you think, Jamie, that he could have made it back to you in round eight? Did you have the thought in your head of passing on him in round seven, thinking you could take another player and that just – there wouldn't be enough
Adam
people interested? You thought Adam would be on him?
Yeah.
Or Heath? Heath, was James White on your radar?
No.
Adam, was he on yours?
Oh, I would have taken him, absolutely.
Okay, so that's a good example of what Jamie and I talk about all the time, which is knowing your league, and Jamie took advantage of the pick.
Boy, what an interesting spot in the draft right now.
Whoa.
No, that's not what I wanted. Sorry. So I auto-picked accidentally.
At?
I'm going to back out some picks here.
What are you looking at for this pick in round seven?
What'd you say?
What are you looking at? It's late round seven.
It's Adam. He's taking Deshaun Jackson.
No, I'm not. I have Jamal Charles, CJ Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Michael Floyd, and Kobe Fleener. And my flex right now is Marvin Jones. And I kind of want some running back depth, but I don't know. The running backs on the board are Charles Sims, Chris Ivory, Matt Jones, Arian Foster, Theo Riddick, Forsett, LeGarrette Blount. You know, it's not great there. I think I'm going to take Michael Crabtree. Yes, that is who I'm going to take. What do you think as my fourth receiver? And then I'm probably done drafting receivers. I'll get running backs until the very end. I'll take running backs going forward here to fill out my roster. Not just running back. I've got a quarterback too. But
I've been hoping since the start of this round that a player was going to fall to me, and I'm very pleased that he did. And it's the reason, I guess, that I'd rather have this guy than James White, and that's Charles Sims.
I go back and forth between them.
Yeah.
Because I think Sims has year-long value, and I don't know if we can say that about White.
Well, I think the major difference for me is I think Sims is going to catch 50 passes no matter what happens to Doug Martin. But if Doug Martin gets hurt, Sims is an injury away from being a top 12 running back.
Do you think?
I don't see that with.
I don't know if he's 1,000 yards though. Like last
Martin's
year.
Hurt? Yes.
Oh, well, of course. But if Doug Martin stays healthy and has another productive year, can Sims replicate what he did last year?
Then, oh, I think he can. I mean, look, he didn't have any rushing touchdowns. He had 4 receiving touchdowns. So you figure bump that down. I cut that in half. I'd say he gets 2 receiving touchdowns. And I'd be surprised if he didn't get maybe 3 rushing touchdowns.
I don't know that there's a huge difference between Sims and Geo.
Really? No,
both part-time passing downs type backs.
Right.
Who really, I think there's a higher ceiling on Geo, to be honest.
Yeah, we've seen.
I think he's a little bit more of a playmaker.
We've seen that. We've seen him do more than we've seen Sims do, but he's been in the league longer too. And then my second pick there, I don't really like at all. But I think
you just made the pick, but you don't like.
No, I think it's one of those guys that nobody's taken him yet. Somebody should.
Matt Jones.
I'll take him.
The thing about White is if we saw last year in 7 games he had 32 catches,
right,
and scored double digits of fantasy points. In a standard league, I think in 5 of those. So you're looking at a guy who, if Deion Lewis does not play at all,
right,
which is the same thing you're gambling on if Doug Martin gets hurt. If Deion Lewis doesn't play at all and James White has that role all season, that's should be in the 80 catch range, which in a PPR, any type of scoring is going to be hard to find that, even as good as Sims was last year.
Right.
Guys, why don't you take a look at the running... I have to make a pick for the absent owner here. Why don't you take a look at the running backs who have come off the board? Ivory, Yeldon, Matt Jones. Talk about them and Arian Foster. This group of running backs is a little tricky. You know, who do you like from this group? How should we value these guys? And what if you take Ivory and Yeldon in rounds 7 and 8? You know, is that a good strategy? Let's just talk about this group here.
Go ahead.
I'll start with that Jones because I took him and said that I don't really like him. I think the difference between Matt Jones and the guys that were taken after him is if he gets healthy, he's going to have the volume. I don't know that he's particularly good, but I don't know that anybody that's left is particularly good. I think he has the highest upside just because of the volume that he's going to get. I'm getting more excited about TJ Yeldon than I am Chris Ivory right now.
How come? Because I picked Ivory. I was debating between Ivory and Jones. You made that pick easy for me when you took Jones one spot before. And I just think, you know, touchdown. I just think it's touchdowns. I'm not even going to get too far in depth here. I think he's going to score more touchdowns. And I think Ivory's a good player, and he proved that. And Yeldon, I think the book is still out. Why are you getting more excited about Yeldon?
How many touchdowns do we think Chris Ivory scores?
At least 8.
Oh, no. I wouldn't know that. I was going to say at least 6.
Yes. Do we think TJ Yeldon scoring less than 4? I mean, I think he scores 3 or 4.
4 is safe.
So in PPR, I think the difference in Yeldon's touches makes up for the touchdown difference. And from everything I've seen in the preseason so far, this looks like it's kind of just a pretty close to an even split.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I'd expect Ivory, like total yardage, I'd expect Yeldon to have more total yards than Ivory. Ivory will have more rushing yards.
To me, it also comes down to I don't know how good of a player TJ Yeldon is, and I don't know who's better. I think Ivory might be a better player, and I think Ivory's proven himself to be a good player over the past couple of years. Yeldon
he's
has
got it. Look, his running style as he gets older is going to hurt him. And so if he runs himself into an injury, TJ Yeldon could be great.
Well,
I think in the range that both these guys went, they're going to go very close to each other. Like you said, Adam, it's not a bad idea with mid-round picks to lock these guys up. I remember initially, you know, when we did one of our early drafts after he signed there, and Dave did it, I think round 5 and round 6.
And I didn't like it.
Right.
I don't think it was that early, but same type of
process. I think it was, because that's why you didn't like it, was because it was earlier than you wanted. Because at the time, you were very high on, I think it was Ivory. I think you look at it as, if you're looking at 3rd and 4th running back, 4th and 5th running back, that's the type of move you want to make with locking up the Jaguars. I'd say the same thing about the Dolphins. If you want to, you know, take a flyer on one of those guys and then come right back and take the second one just to cover yourself, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
So why don't we recap round 8, guys, in this 12-team half-point PPR league. Round 8 is Matt Jones, Chris Ivory. Oh, did we get an auto pick in there?
I don't think that's legit. No.
He really took Steven Gostkowski?
I think so.
Steven Gostkowski's ADP is 100. Where was he taken in this draft?
87.
That doesn't look like an auto pick to me.
It's a little early. Yeah, I don't think that was an auto pick.
All right. I gotta ask this owner, yo, what's up with the Gostkowski pick in round 8? Question mark. After Gostkowski, Jamie took Ertz. Then Yeldon went. Foster, Carson Palmer, Deshaun Jackson, Gary Barnage, Bilal Powell, LeGarrette Blount, and Jay Ajayi. Tell me about LeGarrette Blount. We actually had an email. I tried to put some emails in these show notes. Didn't do a very good job of getting to them. There was an email. It's from Matt from Ronkonkoma, Long Island. Why are you so low on LeGarrette Blount? Why is everybody so low on LeGarrette Blount this season?
I think it's because he's unexciting. The production isn't going to be consistent from him. There has to be a certain style of game for the Patriots to have in order for LeGarrette Blount to do well. When they're in a high-scoring nip-and-tuck game or if they're playing from behind, he's just not going to be on the field. That's one of the appealing things about James White, is that he's going to be the guy that would conceivably be out there if the game's like that. It's going to be those blowout wins against bad run defenses. And I'll tell you what, to start the year, I'm not sure that the Patriots have one of those until Tom Brady comes back.
I don't know.
So I think if you're drafting LeGarrette Blount, it's as a season-long good running back to provide depth and bye week fill-ins for your team. I don't see him even as a zero RB type of starter for your team.
But
I think he's gonna get off to a good start.
See, and I think I agree that he's not gonna get the high volume in the first 4 weeks of the year, but I don't know that I see Belichick letting Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball in the red zone. So if they're going to still get to the red zone,
but that could still be White on the field.
I think that was the beauty
of Deion Lewis last year.
A lot of touchdown opportunities. I just don't see any reason. He was basically, if he played 16 games at his pace last year, he finishes as a top 18 running back in standard leagues. I don't know that he'll play 16 games this year, or that when Brady comes back, they won't start throwing the ball a little bit more. But I do think he was in my sleeper's column. I think he's being way underdrafted.
Yeah, look what Blount did, right? He missed week one last year. Then he had 3 carries in week 2. His next 11 games, Blount had double-digit carries in 9 of those games. He had 16 or more carries in 6 of the 11 games. He averaged 4.3 yards per touchdown, or per carry. He had 3 touchdowns in 1 game, which kind of boosted his overall numbers, but Blount was pretty involved. So getting that guy on the Patriots is going to be frustrating, but getting him in round 8 is not bad. Now let's take a look at round 9.
Screwed up.
You screwed up. Oh, good. I'm looking forward
to
hearing
picks,
about that.
Yes.
Why?
So did you, Adam.
I did not screw up.
Adam sure did.
Yeah, he did.
Totally screwed up. But I don't want to jinx anything.
Okay, hold on. Here's round 9. Started with Derrick Henry to Dave. Roethlisberger. How are you guys cool with that? Roethlisberger round 9?
Sure.
It's all right.
Borsett, Stafford, Antonio Gates, Stephon Diggs, Kamar Aiken, Julius Thomas, Torrey Smith to Jamie.
Yep.
Darren Sproles. I took Eli Manning after Roethlisberger and Stafford. I took Eli Manning.
Yep. Great pick.
So I didn't screw up there, I guess. And then he took Tevin Coleman.
Yep.
So Heath, you took
up.
Where did you screw up? Because now we're in round 10, which started with Heath taking Michael Thomas.
I don't know why, and I've got to fix my rankings, obviously, because that's what I'm looking at here, and I don't want Tevin Coleman over Isaiah Crowell.
Really?
Even in a half, no. Because I'm not really that sure that even if Tevin Coleman, I expect him to carve out a role in this offense. I'm not sure.
I don't think it's going to be that big.
I'm not sure his role has anything to do with the passing game. So I don't know that he catches more passes than Crowell this year. Crowell's going to score more touchdowns. He's going to get a lot more carries, more yards. That was dumb.
I mean, Coleman's status is going to depend on Devontae Freeman and how good he plays and how healthy he is. He's really, to me, Coleman has kind of fallen back into being that handcuff for Devontae Freeman. And I don't think there's a lot of other appeal. Like if I'm in a late round situation, not even late round, 8-9, which is where people were taking Tevin Coleman before, I'm not as interested in getting him as I am somebody like Jerick McKinnon, like, or Devontae Booker, or even potentially Spencer Ware. Like I don't see a lot of numbers for Coleman as long as Freeman is upright.
Yeah, Kristen Michael makes sense. Yeah. Was he on the board?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's still on the board.
Yeah, but were you
five picks
though,
away?
You have 2 guys to handcuff, and you handcuff the wrong one first.
I agree.
Wait. I took
you
Spencer
took
Ware
over Booker. When you should have.
Are
taken
you
Booker
kidding
over.
Me? You think I should handcuff C.J. Anderson before?
I think you should absolutely handcuff
because
both.
I think you should handcuff both, but people are going to target Devontae Booker before they target Spencer Ware.
I do agree. I think Spencer Ware was coming back to you.
Okay, you think so? Because look, that's 20-something picks before it gets back to me.
People are targeting Devontae Booker as standalone value.
Mm-hmm.
They're not targeting Spencer Ware as standalone value.
All right, now listen, that's a great point. I accept it. But doesn't that just make Jamal Charles an even better pick? It's not like when you draft Le'Veon Bell and you have to take D'Angelo Williams early because somebody else will take him. If nobody's taking Spencer Ware, and we saw what Ware did when he stepped in last year, and he's the guy over West, right? Like, why not take the Chiefs backfield with a late first round pick, early second round pick?
It's fine.
I think it's fine.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I just think if you're looking to pick up the second guy, you should take the guy that has a better chance to, that other people are going to take away from you.
Okay. It's totally a fair point. Let me ask you this. What role would Sharkhandrick West play if Jamal Charles got hurt, and how good would Spencer Ware be?
We saw it last year. They'll split carries.
And West will get most of the game, work in the passing game. Okay. But they did also, once Charles got hurt, they threw the ball to their running backs less. So the way that they've used the Ware in the preseason, I've kind of changed my tune. I thought that that would be more of a split. I think Ware is going
to
be, he's the guy, and then West is going to take a chunk of his workload.
Okay. Guys, I need to tell you about FanDuel. Do you want 5 free entries on FanDuel.com? Sign up right now at FanDuel.com/CBS. FanDuel.com/CBS. New users, if you sign up and deposit, again, FanDuel.com/CBS, you'll get 5 free entries to NFL beginner contests, 1 free entry a week, 5 weeks in a row, and if you finish anywhere in the top half of those contests, you win cash. That is an amazing offer. That's 5 free entries, 5 chances to win money. Top half win money. Again, FanDuel.com/CBS, void where prohibited. And let me tell you, FanDuel's already awesome. We already love it. It's a lot of fun. It's a great way to play more fantasy football for as little as $1. But this year, it's going to be even better. I'm pumped for the Friends Mode contest. I can compete every week against my buddy and destroy him. I'm going to do that to Heath. They got 50-50 contests where the top half win cash. They've got tournaments where you can win big cash prizes and new features to ensure a fair and level playing field. So sign up right now at FanDuel.com/CBS. And we are back to the draft here as we're in round 11. Man, this draft has gone pretty quickly here. Almost 11 rounds in about 50 minutes. Round 10 looked like this. Dave took Devontae Booker. Thanks, buddy. Michael Thomas, Spencer Ware, Rivers, Coleman, Witten. Witten, draftable?
No.
In PPR for sure.
Yes.
No.
PPR.
No. Half point PPR?
Yes.
Not even, yeah, maybe 1.5 point PPR.
We have Isaiah Crowell, Devin Funchess, Kristen Michael, Vincent Jackson, Tony Romo, Tavon Austin, and Devontae Booker.
So I have a question for you, because I think it's interesting with the way Dave drafted, because I would have done something different. I'm obviously the guy when I pick first, pick early, I thought I'd take it to receivers. You probably meant to put a flex in this league?
There is a flex.
I did mean to put a flex. I didn't put it, but I wanted everybody to draft as if they had a flex.
Okay. Then that, cause that changed the way I drafted.
Oh, it did change the way you drafted?
Yeah. I wouldn't have stopped taking receivers like I did.
You know, we haven't even looked at your team in a while here. So let me take a look at.
I would have taken a third receiver sooner.
Jamie's team with the 9th pick, he has Aaron Rodgers, Adrian Peterson, Melvin Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant, and Zach Ertz. You would have taken more receivers if you had to fill out a flex, you're saying?
I would have taken a receiver sooner than taking Torrey Smith as a third guy and Corey Coleman as a fourth guy, yes.
Okay. So you wouldn't have had Matt Forte then?
Probably not.
All right. Matt Forte, Smith, Corey Coleman, James White on the bench. Yeah, I mean, like, James White could be your number 3 running back and you'd be fine with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have, where I took Smith and Coleman, I probably would have taken running backs with the guys around. Like, I would have taken McKinnon sooner for sure.
You were taking running backs?
Wide receivers.
No, I would have taken receivers. I would have taken a third receiver where I took Forte. I probably would have taken running backs in this range now where I just picked Torrey Smith and Corey Coleman.
Okay.
I would have flipped the way that I drafted.
Okay, yeah, sorry. So I didn't put a flex in this league. I was supposed to, but that's me being a crappy commissioner.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying it and this goes to knowing your rules. I mean, a lot of people go into their drafts. They don't know their rules until they're picking.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see the rules.
I was in a draft last night with people that have been in this league for years, and they didn't, you know, somebody said we play 2 flexes in this league. Yeah. We play 2 flexes.
All right, Heath,
it's like
you and
the most obvious rule. Like, know your league rules before you get into it.
Heath, you and I are picking now. So let's talk about our teams. Okay.
Okay.
I have Manning, Charles, CJ Anderson, Jordy Nelson, and Michael Floyd, Kobe Fleener at tight end. On my bench, I have Chris Ivory and Spencer Ware, Marvin Jones and Michael Crabtree. I'm okay with the team. I don't love it. So now I'm on the clock, and I'm just going to look for some depth, not at quarterback. Best running backs available are Buck Allen, Sean Drone, Tim Hightower, Alf. Nothing too exciting here. Kenneth Dixon's kind of interesting. Best wide receivers, we've got, Tajae Sharpe. Let's see, Will Fuller, so some of the rookies. Steve Smith. What about Breshad Perriman, guys? He says he's going to be ready for week one. Even if you're not in love with him, what does that mean for the Ravens wide receivers? And I'm going to go ahead and pick Tajae Sharpe here, by the way.
I think the whole Kamar Aiken by default thing is
it's dissipated.
In trouble. Yeah, I have to downgrade him in my rankings. With Perriman and Smith both being back and seemingly at full strength, Aiken's definitely falling in my rankings.
Well, so what does it mean? Do we know that this guy is going to come back and play like a superstar, or is he going to be kind of, and then this is why I wouldn't move Kamar Aiken too far down, Heath. I feel like they're going to baby Perriman, and they're not going to let him play every single snap, and he'll
be a
third or a fourth receiver. But I don't think it takes Aiken off the field anytime soon.
No, I think Aiken could eventually.
It takes targets away from him.
Yeah, but that was going to happen anyway. Like, it's not like every single target was going to go to Kamar Aiken. With Steve Smith, if he plays, if he doesn't play, they're going to have other pass catchers on the field. I thought that they'd start bulking up with two tight end sets, and they'd give Max Williams and Benjamin Watson some targets. Not that that's going to help fantasy owners, and not that that's going to make anybody want to draft Joe Flacco. But yeah, it would take numbers away from Kamar Aiken, but Aiken would be the de facto deep threat. Now, if Steve Smith's playing, if Breshad Perriman's playing, what's that?
Aiken's not a deep guy.
He could have been, because he's their best receiver. Who else was going to be their deep guy? Michael Wallace?
Yeah.
Come on. I feel like now the opportunities. I think the opportunities for Aiken to have explosive plays are going to go down way more than they would have been. They wouldn't have been that high, to your point. He's not known for that. He's known as being the possession receiver. And that's pretty much what he's going to be, with fewer targets than we might have expected. But I don't think Steve Smith is going to be anything great. I don't think Perriman's going to be anything great. The combination of them coming back puts a lid on any type of potential on Aiken voluming his way to 1,000 yards because he gets a ton of targets. That's out the window.
But I just took Steve Smith in round 12.
That's a waste of a pick.
Yeah, this guy's been counted out before.
He has.
Yes, many
times. I'm not counting him out again.
No one's ever counted him out at age 37.
You know what? You say nobody ever counted him out at age 36, and look how good he was. And what the other thing I don't understand, it's like now, okay, it's easy to be down on Arian Foster because he hasn't had a very good preseason. But nobody seemed to want to downgrade Arian Foster at a very advanced age for a running back, coming off a bad year, by the way, where he averaged less than 4 yards per carry and an Achilles injury. But Steve Smith, coming off a great year and an Achilles injury, nobody wants. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, Smith's 7 years older than Foster.
But he's a receiver, and Foster's had a much worse injury history.
You're giving Foster too much credit. It was under 3 yards a carry last year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. Terrible year.
But it's also, though, the just to defend Foster, I think it's the potential of Adam Gase's offense as much as him having a chance to be healthy.
But we've seen something from Steve Smith. You know, look, obviously I'd take Foster earlier than Smith, but I took Steve Smith, and somebody in the draft room said, oh, damn it, Azer, you sniped me. They wanted to take Steve Smith. I got no problem with him in round 12. When's the earliest you guys would consider Steve Smith in a 12-team league?
Look, the receivers that are on the board, he's in the conversation. It's not that egregious of a pick. I mean, at this point, who's better, Steve Smith or Sammy Coates?
Smith.
More upside with Coates.
Yeah, I'll be moving Smith ahead, or Coates behind Smith for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the guy who could easily be the number one receiver for the Ravens versus the guy who's going to be fourth at best for the Steelers.
I don't think he's going to be fourth at best yet.
This is a thinner.
I know there's a report that suggests that, but I don't think.
But he stinks.
This is also
he's stunk
draft.
In two preseason games. Like, without
Steve
Ben
Smith has a Hall of Fame career.
That's great. So are you going to get the Hall of Fame career? For
you don't
Steve
know.
Smith, or are you going to get shredded chicken
you don't
in
know.
One knee? I know. It's a 37-year-old with a shredded
knee.
I think I'll get shredded chicken.
I don't think you're going to get.
You know.
What do you want?
You know.
What do you want from Steve Smith that's going to make you feel good about him as a late-round pick?
What do I want from him, or what do I expect from him compared to Sammy Coates? Because I don't think it's that much different.
Who has more upside?
Obviously, Sammy Coates does.
That's why you're taking him.
I don't agree with that.
But that doesn't mean he's going to be better because he has more upside.
old players have upside too.
Old players do have upside too.
The ones with knees and threatening vertical passing games, they do. I love Steve Smith. I love talking to him. I love watching him play. I don't know if he's going to come back and be that guy.
All right.
You don't know, but you don't know that Sammy Coates is going to be anything.
It's a 12th round pick. I'll always lean toward the guy with upside.
And that's a very smart thing to do. But in this case,
I don't know if either of these receivers,
because Steve Smith could still be the number one guy for Joe Flacco. He could still lead that team in receptions. And in any PPR scoring, he could have a better season in this format than Sammy Coates.
We could probably name
three other receivers that might be the biggest argument in the mock draft.
Yeah.
I love Steve
Smith versus Sammy Coates. You know how players fight in the dog days of training camp? This is what's happening between Jamie and I in the
Steve
dog days
Smith
of draft
and
prep
Sammy
season.
Coates.
That's right.
So, listen, guys, this draft is basically over. We're in the middle of round 13. Kickers and defenses are going because we only have a 14-round draft, which is probably why we don't have a flex. I'm going to read a few of the recent picks, and I want you to tell me if they're okay being drafted there. I mean, it's one of the last picks, so I'm sure it's fine. But Deion Lewis, Kenneth Dixon... And really, I guess that's pretty much it. Deion Lewis and Kenneth Dixon, at the end of round 12. Is that okay with you guys?
Sure.
Yeah. Especially like a major clarification needs to be made. The end of round 12 means something different in this draft.
Yeah, I know.
Than it
yeah.
does in most every other draft, because this is the last round where you can take somebody besides a defense or a kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically your last, anybody you want that's being drafted from now until the 18th round. If you want to have them on your roster until week one, you take them here, whether it's a good 12th round pick or not.
All right, let's read some of the teams from our listeners here. This was from A Team Has No Name. And I'm just going to suspend the draft. We don't need to draft kickers and defenses. We're going to end the show just looking at a few teams. A Team Has No Name, very, very good. I actually think that's very funny.
It's Alejandro's team.
Alejandro, okay. Matthew Stafford is his quarterback. He's got Eddie Lacy and David Johnson at running back.
That's pretty. Great.
Kelvin Benjamin and Dante Moncrief at wide receiver. And his flex is going to be either Amir Abdullah, Kevin White. Oh, John Brown.
John Brown.
And Gary Barnage at tight end with the Broncos DST and Mason Crosby. I think this is pretty solid. He also has DeAndre Washington on his bench. How do you guys feel about this team? Stafford, Lacy, David Johnson, Moncrief, and Benjamin. Obviously, he's going to have kind of weak wide receivers comparatively. John Brown, Kevin White on the bench or at flex, and Gary Barnage at tight end.
I think this is a pretty good team for a guy that started his draft with two running backs. I would have liked to see a little bit better quarterback, you know, someone from Rivers or Eli or Bortles for me. But if you're not a Bortles guy, I understand. And maybe someone, you know, I'm okay with the receivers. Between Moncrief and John Brown, you're going to start both those guys every week. One is your wide receiver two and one is your flex. I think that's fine. Well, I think for starting RBRB in a half point PPR and getting those two running backs, I think it's a good team that could have been fine tuned a little bit to be even better, but I'll take it.
I mean, in PPR, Eddie Lacy's falling into the third a lot of the time, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my problem. Cause I feel like, I mean, if you're just rating it by position, he's got an A+ at running back. David Johnson, Eddie Lacy, he's an A+. But if you're asking about the whole entire rest of the team, I'd give him a D. So he's got a C.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're giving him a D on the rest of the team? I think that's a little harsh.
I like Matthew Stafford, but he's
a tough professor.
Stafford's a lower end starting quarterback.
The thing, look, I like Moncrief, obviously. Benjamin, I think, is somebody that's very polarizing right now. The thing you got to do is you got to hit, I think, two home runs, two positions. And I don't know if he did that. He hit a home run at running back, and he hit probably, I would say, a double at receiver and probably a single at quarterback.
But my problem with the receivers, like, I like those guys just fine. As much as you like Moncrief and as much as
there's no one
you think of Benjamin, he didn't have anything close to a one.
He's got three twos.
Couldn't this team have been even worse starting with two running backs? Like I think the receivers could have been even worse.
I don't know that Kelvin Benjamin can't be a one though, because you know if he just makes a leap from
he's a solid number two right now, and I love Kelvin Benjamin, man. I think that he's a fun player to watch, and I think he's got the chance to put up big points no matter who the Panthers play from week to week. But he's got the same kind of physical profile as Funchess. And that makes me a little bit worried that one week it'll be Calvin, one week it'll be Funchess. And if they alternate and it goes down like that, save for the weeks when Cam kind of takes over and he does all the work and Olsen takes numbers away from both of them, man, I don't know if they can produce like number ones, much less number two.
He took Kelvin over Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
I think if he would have taken Demaryius Thomas, I would have liked his team a lot better.
Right.
The funny thing is like, at what point are the coaches in Carolina trying to publicly motivate Kelvin Benjamin versus this is the reality? Because you had,
I don't think it's motivation.
The receiver coach Ricky Prohl said that Funchess is pushing him. And so is that he's pushing him or he's pushing him aside?
The way Kelvin puts it is he hasn't played football in over a year. He's just now.
It's totally circumstantial.
That doesn't mean that Devin Funchess isn't doing his part to gain more targets. And it's going to be a big problem. You know, you've got two power forwards posting up on 5'10" cornerbacks every week. It's a good problem for Carolina. It's a bad problem for fantasy.
Okay. So let's read the Le'Veon team and then we'll just recap ours really quickly. So the Le'Veon owner was, I Miss Jim Harbaugh is the team name. And he had a pick in the middle of the draft. Do you remember, what did he take him? Like 17th overall? Can you guys check, please? Le'Veon Bell? So his squad is Carson Palmer, Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy, and he took D'Angelo Williams, also Theo Riddick and James Starks. He has DeAndre Hopkins and Julian Edelman, and his flex would probably be, he doesn't have a great flex.
It's Larry Fitzgerald.
What do you mean?
He is. I'm sorry. I missed Larry Fitzgerald. I'm sorry. But he also has Stephon Diggs and Devin Funchess, Travis Kelce at kicker, at tight end.
At kicker?
So I'm a little confused. Palmer, Hopkins and Edelman, McCoy and Steelers running backs, Larry Fitzgerald at flex, Travis Kelce at tight end. You know, obviously it doesn't have quite the depth that some of the other teams are going to have because he had to take D'Angelo Williams in a mid-round pick, but what do you think about the Le'Veon team?
I think it's pretty good. And I think it's helped by him getting D'Angelo in round 7 instead of round 6. He was willing to take that chance. And having D'Angelo, and I think it's falling at this point, falling to him in round 7 really worked out for him.
Round 7.
Yeah, and then he waited on quarterback to get Carson Palmer in round 8. I think he lucked out there.
I like this team better than the first team.
Yeah, and then Devin Funchess round 10. I think that's about the point where you're going to see Funchess go to give him some good depth.
He's got three top 30 receivers and two guys that are certainly well worth.
So he made really good selections.
Yeah, it's a good team.
But that's the point. Like I've been kind of in disagreement with you guys, I think. I don't see much urgency from the non-D'Angelo Williams owner to take D'Angelo Williams now. And I feel like round 7 is realistic.
I was hoping for D'Angelo.
You're 100% right, Adam.
To come back to me I guess it would be the end of round 8.
Because it's also the suspension has been reduced.
Yeah.
So you're getting less of a window to use him.
So he got Le'Veon Bell 19th overall toward, you know, middle to late round 2. And that's awesome. So good job. All right, our teams, I'll just go through mine real quick. I talked about mine fairly recently. So Eli Manning, Jamal Charles, CJ Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Michael Floyd, Kobe Fleener. On my bench, or my flex would be probably in half point PPR. We're looking at Crabtree or Marvin Jones.
I think you drafted Marvin Jones to be your flex, but
yeah,
you took him in round 5.
Jones, yeah. Crabtree, I have Steve Smith, I have Tajay Sharp, I have Spencer Ware, and I have Chris Ivory. I'm pretty happy with my team.
I think you've got a really nice, balanced team. I think it's going to be competitive.
Thank you. Of course, we're not playing it out, but yeah. I'll let you say I made the playoffs. Heath, Cam Newton for you. What else you got?
DeMarco and Gio, Allen Robinson and Tyler Lockett, and Gronk at tight end. Like Jamie, I didn't realize we had a flex until a little bit later in the draft, so my backup wide receivers are a problem area. I've got Michael Thomas as my number 3, Sanu, and Bruce Ellington, a little bit of upside there. I like my backup running backs, Charles Sims, Matt Jones, Tevin Coleman. This was different for me. I haven't had Gronk on my team in a long time, and I haven't gone the first couple rounds without a running back in a while. I don't love it, but it's, I mean, Cam and Gronk should be good enough if they're healthy that I'll be fine.
I mean, my running backs are going to be worse than your running backs mm-hmm. because I went zero RB and you kind of, you did a light version of zero RB because you didn't take Murray until the first pick of round four. But I think it's going to be a fun team. I think it's going to be a boomer bust team. There's going to be some weeks where Cam and Gronk will outscore your opponent just by themselves.
Well, so. I think what you're seeing with Heath is what you can expect if you take a quarterback and a tight end with two of your first four picks.
Right.
You know, and so he's got elite ones there, but we'll see. You know, well, we won't see, but that's kind of what you can expect. All right, Dave, your running backs, you don't love them. Let's go through your team. You didn't draft a running back until round seven, right?
Round six. Last pick of round six was Rashad Jennings. But before that, I got Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins in my flex. So I think I can dominate from there. Greg Olsen is my tight end. Andrew Luck is my quarterback. So I also took a quarterback and a tight end mm-hmm. with my first five picks. Regretted that in retrospect, but you know what? I like the depth of all the running backs because I spent every bench spot I have on running backs. The starters as of now are Rashad Jennings and Duke Johnson. Behind them, I've got Derrick Henry, Devontae Booker, Jerick McKinnon, Kenneth Dixon, and Jay Ajayi. Not drafted in that order, by the way. Seahawks DST. Adam Vinatieri is my kicker. The thing is, I would love to have this depth at running back on any team I have. I just wish my starters weren't Rashad Jennings and Duke Johnson. If I could replace Duke Johnson with Jeremy Hill and replace Andrew Luck with insert quarterback here, even if it's Bortles, I'm happier with the team.
Okay. And Jamie, you had the ninth pick. Significantly happier. Sorry, Dave. Jamie, you had the ninth pick. How did it shake out for you?
I took Dez Bryant in round one, and then Adrian Peterson was sitting there in round two. As much as I think Peterson's going to struggle, you take him in round two. I took Demaryius Thomas in round three, and then Aaron Rodgers in round four. So I was really happy with those four picks. And then not knowing we were playing this with a flex, I took Melvin Gordon in round five, and then the rest of my running backs are Matt Forte and James White and Alfred Morris. And my backup receivers are Torrey Smith, Corey Coleman, Philip Dorsett, Zach Ertz at tight end, the Rams defense, and Graham Gano.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I would have done something differently in that sixth round where I took Forte because I, you know, like seeing where like Dave got Booker and McKinnon, I would have taken one of those guys where I took Torrey Smith. So, I would have done some things differently with my reserves and taken a flex that I feel more comfortable with, but I'm fine with Forte in the sixth round if he falls to the sixth round, especially in PPR.
Cool. That's it, guys.
I'm sorry. I didn't mention James White. James White also.
Yeah, nice pick there. So that's it for today's show. I want to thank everybody who joined us online, and we just had a little bit of miscommunication with one of the owners, unfortunately, but appreciate the effort. Dave, Jamie, and Heath, I'm glad to be back. I want to thank you guys for filling in so well. Not that you were doing anything too differently, but Dave, thank you for filling in very effectively as a host, my man.
I'm glad you were out of the hospital so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. That's good stuff. All right, thank you for listening. We're back tomorrow. Again, we have a Reddit Ask Me Anything tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. That's Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll talk to you then. Also, we'll do some sleepers and breakouts on tomorrow's show. See you later.
Bye.